I do think there's still going to be a market for books, whether it's audio or ebook or however they consume it or it downloads into your brain, whatever. I don't know for sure, right? We don't know what's going to come up in the future, but people are still going to want to have that connection. And that's what books do.
What's better than earning money from a 9-to-5 job? It's earning money while you sleep, which is made possible if you start investing. You're listening to the Real Estate Investing Demystified with your very own dynamic duo, Ava Benesaki and August Binias. Tune in as we discuss everything real estate, both on the passive and active sides. We feature life-changing stories of today's real estate leaders that will help build your own roadmap to success. This is a show that will lead you to a diversified portfolio, a much bigger revenue, and a next-level venture that brings you a smooth cash flow. Let's get this episode started. All right, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Demystified show.
Absolutely, yes.
August? How are we going to start the show today, August?
Yeah, I mean, interesting times happening in the world, and the world's going to fall apart. I'm just kidding.
But it seems like that some days.
It does.
My God.
Just that with our business and our lives, we have to follow the news much more closely these days, and then we can see so many different things happening all the world. But sweaty Prince Andrew got arrested.
Linked
to the Epstein files. They call him Sweaty Prince Andrew.
Every day, something new is happening.
But he wasn't arrested for allegedly sleeping with minors. Yeah. He was arrested because he was giving Epstein information. Mm. He was something related to the finance of UK. He was finance envoy or something, and he was forwarding the emails he was receiving to Epstein for some type of a quid pro quo. So. Well, we'll get into our show today.
I love being married to August. I get an update of what's happening in the world every single day, actually throughout the day, because there's new things happening every minute throughout the day. He's like, guess what happened here? Guess what happened there? I'm like, oh my gosh. So I have my own walking encyclopedia beside me
for sure. But we have a great show for you today. We're covering a lot of great topics, book publishing, personal branding, AI. So it's going to be exciting stuff for you. And why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, Ava? Or we can get our guest to introduce herself.
Yeah, well, actually, before we started, Jen and I were talking a little bit. We have Jen Foster on our show today, and we have a lot in common. She lived in Vancouver before. Her husband grew up in Alberta. So I'm looking forward to actually getting to learn a little bit more about her. But welcome to the show, Jen. It's really great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So Jen, why don't you just please tell us how did you get into the book publishing business? What is it that you exactly do today?
Yeah, so it's a great story. So I actually got into the book publishing business because I was doing online marketing, digital marketing. I was doing videos and online marketing websites, stuff like that. And I went to a marketing conference. I'd been going to this marketing conference probably for about 2 or 3 years. And my mentor there talked about book publishing. And so I started publishing a few books for myself. And then one of the, probably the third year I was there, one of my good friends was on stage in a hot seat, and she was going through this, how she has this website where she could sell this villa in the Dominican Republic. And it looked amazing. It had the private chef, the pool in the backyard, all this beautiful things you could have on this resort in Dominican. And it was the first month I had just gotten divorced, and it was the first month I wasn't going to have kids for a whole month. And when you have 3 kids 24/7, and then you're like, I'm not going to have kids for a month. What am I going to do? So yeah. I thought, hey, I need to go on vacation to this Dominican Republic, but I need to make money. And so I approached her afterwards and asked, we went to lunch, and I said, I've written a few books, you've written a few books, let's have a book writing retreat at your villa, and we'll charge for it, and we'll make money, and then we can get them bestseller status. And so, because we both knew how to do it. And so we did that. We did a book writing retreat. That was almost 11 years ago in 2015, and that turned into a full-on publishing company. And so that's kind of how it got started.
That is incredible. I love that. A month off of kids, I don't even know what I would do. I would conquer the world.
Right? I was I need to make money, but I also need to have fun.
Yes.
So we did the book writing retreat, and then I stayed another week and relaxed in Dominican, and then came home and did the fulfillment for the ladies who came down to do their book writing. So.
I love that. You turned your passion into a career. Are you an editor yourself, Jen?
I am not an editor.
Okay.
And so what we do is we have editors on our team. Because there's so many people that have gone to school to be an editor, or they're a really good ghostwriter. I would say, I've always liked writing. I remember some of my writing classes in high school and college, and I really liked them. But I never really thought I was a writer. And to be honest, the first three books that I published, I just did what my mentor told me to do. And Otter was big back then. Like, it's been big for like 10 years. So we used Otter and we just talked our books. One of the first books I wrote, we just did this formula that we still use today, which is 10 by 10 by 3. So you do 10 should ask questions, 10 frequently asked questions, because people ask you the same questions over and over, but they should be asking you different ones. So then you have these 10 questions that you can answer about your business or yourself. And now you have a book, right? And you just talk it. So that's what I did for one of my books, one of the first books that I did.
Okay. Now, can you break down for the audience, like, what is a publisher?
Sure. And a lot of people don't understand, because there's, depending on what year you were born, is really, you don't really understand what publishing is. Some people think I'm a printer and I print books. I don't print books. We have printing companies that print books. Yeah. But what we do is we publish books. And to publish a book basically means you have to get the content, the writing, make sure it's edited, looks beautiful. And then we format that into a beautiful design. So it's really design work, right? We design the interior of the book. We design the front cover of the book. Then we make it look beautiful. And then we market the book and publish the book. And with print on demand, with services like Kindle Direct Publishing and Ingram Spark, you can make your book available for everyone in the world. And we can make it a bestseller and help the author to really brand themselves and make a name for themselves. And that's what we do.
My next question was going to be, what is the difference between self-publishing and professional publishing? And obviously, you know, if you self-publish, you'd want to keep the majority of the sales sales, but using professional publishing, you're going to reach probably way more people to sell your book. So,
right. So there's actually like traditional publishing all the way down to self-publishing. There's a few in the middle, right? Because you have boutique publishers, you have hybrid publishers. And so some hybrid publishers will take some of your royalties. So traditional publishers, they're going to be like, okay, I'm going to give you an advance. Usually if you read your contract, that advance has to go towards marketing. You actually can't spend that just to live. You have, right. You know, you're supposed to be spending that on marketing, PR and all of that. But then they keep pretty much all your rights and all your royalties. I remember Tim Ferriss once saying for Tools of the Titans, that book he did with all his interviews, he said he made 30 cents a book. And I was like, that's a lot of work for 30 cents. A book. Now I'm sure he sells a lot of copies because he had a good publishing deal. But if he would have self-published that, he would have made all the royalties other than sharing it with Amazon or Barnes & Noble, right? So the retailers. Yeah. So I think, you know, everywhere in between, and we are more of we help you self-publish because we believe the author spent all that time writing the book, they should keep their rights and royalties. And then if it does turn into a movie, they have the rights to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you actually help people self-publish the book and then they get, oh, that's really cool.
Got it. So when you say you're a publisher, you're more of a support for the writer to be self-published.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we do own their distribution because we own their ISBN, but they own their copyright and their royalty. And the ISBN just is their barcode. It's just like the number that identifies the book. So we own the distribution of that. So if you type in Elite Online Publishing on Amazon, you'll see a lot of the books that we publish. There's a few that jump in there that we didn't publish. I don't know why it does that. Because it shows you're published by Elite Online Publishing, you look a lot more reputable than it's saying self-published when you look at the description of the book. And so we have our name on it, but traditionally you're getting all the rights and royalties and the copyrights in your name.
Got it.
Okay, right on.
Yeah.
Now, Jen, in your experience with clients, what has been the motivating factors to write a book? Like, obviously, it has to be their story. People want their story to be heard a lot of the times, you know, maybe perhaps make another additional stream of income. I would say a lot of people write a book to position themselves as authorities, coming from a place of authority. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we work with a lot of business owners that just want that name for themselves, or they're switching careers and they want to speak on stages and they need that authority, right? Now, we will publish the occasional fiction or children's book, but it's a totally different marketing campaign than someone who is positioning a book to get leads and customers or to use this book as a tool, right? A marketing tool. There's a way that you can write the book specifically to get on stages or to get your new, to raise capital, right? Whatever it is that you're trying to do with your book. So that we believe that using that book and writing it for that one person, we actually did meet an author who wrote a book just for one person so they could get a job. And they had two people in mind of jobs they wanted, and they mailed the book to each of them with a cover letter, and they got the job. And then specifically to get the job and to show their expertise and their value. Right.
Wow. Okay. Smart. Yeah.
Interesting. On that note, maybe a follow-up question here, Ava, if you don't mind. When you click with a guest, I see you asking a lot of questions. And then when I click with a guest, I ask a lot of questions. So it's interesting how that works. Yeah. So no, but on that note, when it comes to your services and advice you give your clients, how does it work when your client comes to you and you said about raising capital? Let's say somebody wants to write a book about raising capital, which is somewhat in a very niche type of industry. Do you go out there and seek potential advisors to assist them, or do they need to come to the table with all the knowledge that's needed for the book they're going to be writing? Do you guys assist them in research? Like, how does all that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, most authors come with an idea. Some authors already have a lot of it in their head and they just need to get it out, write it out. And then occasionally there'll be authors who do need the research, or they need a ghostwriter to help them. And so we do have book coaches that can help with that. And we actually have a VIP day that helps, because there's a few authors that will come to us and say, well, I have these three ideas. I don't know which book to write first, you know, that kind of a thing. And so a VIP day, we basically just extract that. It's really defining who your audience is, getting your avatar, and then starting to write the book and getting the outline and just diving right in. And that's with the ghostwriter and usually me or my business partner.
Do you have different ghostwriters for finance, ghostwriters for
I mean, each ghostwriter, each writer, editor has their expertise on books that they've worked on. So we can kind of point the author in the right direction.
Okay. Love it. So, you know, I'm Ava Benesaki. I come to you. I'm like, Jen, I'm more focused on the equity side of the business when it comes to my firm. And I want to talk about capital raising, let's say. So maybe you can talk to me. I approach you and I say, what's the process of writing a book with a firm like yours? Like, maybe we can go through it step by step, right? Yeah. Take us through that step by step process on how you'd onboard me and help me.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were going to do the VIP day, or even if you weren't, we could guide you through writing if you hadn't written it yet. A lot of times you'll have outline or ideas in your head or stories that you want to write. And if you don't have those, that's where we go through the 10 by 10 by 3. So you come up with the 10 frequently asked questions that people ask about your position or about the thing you want to write about. And then the 10 should ask questions. If they only knew this, they would ask me that, right? So the should ask questions. And then for each one of those questions, you can come up with 1 to 3 examples or stories, because stories sell, right? Stories are what we want. We want the, whether it's your story or someone else's story, right? Because you can always use someone else's story. I always tell a story of one of my mentors was on an airplane and he saw Richard Dreyfuss up in first class, and he knew Richard Dreyfuss had a foundation, and he had a foundation, and he had just written this book. So he approached him. They had a layover and then they had another leg of the journey. And so he approached him, gave him the book, and he had written in the book that check out page 50. I think it'll really help your foundation. And of course, Richard Dreyfuss was ecstatic, and he invited him to come sit with him up in first class. And they talked the whole way and, you know, did business basically. And they helped each other with the foundation. So little things like that, like a book can just change, get you into doors you never thought, you know, those opportunities. So those little stories like that in your 10 by 10 by 3 can make your book amazing.
I love it. How long does it typically take you to publish a book from start to finish, to help a client publish a book?
Yeah, the average I would say is like 3 to 4 months. We have had some authors that take longer. It's really like how long, because some of them haven't written anything yet when they come to us. So it's how long to write their manuscript. Okay. But with all the new AI tools and all the cool stuff out there, I mean, Otter is getting better and better. Now Otter has the AI feature in it, so you can ask questions while it's recording you. You know, like, it's pretty cool.
I remember, so I was part of a book. There was about 10 ladies and we all talked about it's called From Ordinary to Extraordinary. And we didn't have...
I mean, you co-authored a book. Sorry. You were part of a book.
Sorry, I co-authored a book.
Were you a story in a book maybe somebody wrote about?
Yeah.
I co-authored a book. And I just remember sitting there with pen to paper for hours and hours and hours and just going through my story. And then I didn't have ChatGPT at that time or any of that. I was literally just writing it down, remember, in the theater room there at Piermont and just going through my story. So yeah, I've been part of this process before without the AI and without Otter and all this really cool all these amazing things that you can use nowadays. But yeah, I'm excited to get into that. Maybe before we go into the AI and everything like that, maybe we can talk about what a publishing house is, because I think about only maybe 2 out of 10,000 books offered to a publishing house actually make it. So in reality, if you don't really have a brand behind your name, you're probably not going to be getting published. Would you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. So the traditional publishing house, they're looking at your social media. They're looking at your LinkedIn profile, Instagram profile, Facebook profile. They want to know who your followers are, what type of email list you have. That's a big one. Your CRM or your customer relation manager. Like, what list do you have? And do you email them regularly? What's your open rate? Like, they're looking at all of these things, right? Are you well known? Do people know your name? Do people know your face? They're looking at all of that. And then they maybe look at your manuscript. Do you know what I mean? Like, they haven't even heard your message or even know what your book's about. They're looking at all of that first. We actually we've done marketing for a lot of authors who have worked with Simon & Schuster and Hachette and McGraw-Hill and all those big names. And a lot of them, they wouldn't have been published if they wouldn't, like, they got a small advance, but then they had to use the marketing dollars. But then they still needed, like, they still hadn't hit number one on Amazon, or they still hadn't sold as many copies of the book that they wanted to. And so they come to us so we can help them with their marketing.
Yeah.
But I would say for sure, publishing houses, if you're going traditional route, you need a personal brand. You need to have a following and a fan base.
Yeah. Nobody really wants to read a book by some person that doesn't exist, right? So that's a huge part of it. Do you have any questions, August? Do you want to?
No, I mean, this is a great segue to discuss, get into AI.
I agree.
I mean, we did some research prior to the show with AI to see, to answer the next question that we have for you is basically, are books going to be obsolete? And we really agreed with AI on the fact that there is going to be stories in people's experiences and their life experiences that's only in their mind, and they have never really shared it with anyone. Not maybe they've shared bits and pieces of it, but not holistically. They haven't shared their whole life story, where books allow someone to write those stories. But when it comes to instructional books in particular, where an author is going out there and collecting and doing research and bringing in their research information and then putting into a book, AI might do a better job at that. Maybe it doesn't have the quirky and fun stories that an author can share about their life experiences. But aside from that, if it's a purely instructional book, AI might do a better job. And AI somewhat conceded with what we suggested, but talk to us about, first off, is that a concern at all in your space, in your business, as far as AI and when it comes to book writing or any type of literature, really, right? Is there a need for people to go and read books when it comes on the educational side? Or will you think there's still going to be a market for books? Maybe we can start there.
Yeah. You know, I do think there's still going to be a market for books, whether it's audio or ebook or however they consume it, or it downloads into your brain, whatever. I don't know for sure, right? We don't know what's going to come up in the future, but people are still going to want to kind of have that connection. And that's what books do. Like, even fiction books, the people who read romance, it's because they want to escape, just like when you're watching a movie. So I just think that there's always going to be some form of books, whether for instructional or for entertainment, right? And just like there's always going to be movies, it's just going to be different. So we've been embracing AI for the last 2 or 3 years. We actually have been using it for a long time. If you think about Otter.ai, we've been using Otter forever. And there was one before ChatGPT came out called Jasper that we used a lot for our marketing. And so there's just a lot of AI tools out there. And when you know how to use them and know how to use them correctly, it can just enhance your story or your book or your business, right? So if you know how to use them correctly, if you know how to ask it right, I've heard a couple of people saying that the AI doesn't like me, or it doesn't give me the answers I want. And I just say, well, you got to ask it again. Like, you have to reframe how to ask it.
You got to prompt it.
Ask it to create the prompt for you, and then ask.
That's right. That's right.
So there's different ways to use AI. We actually used our book that came out in September last year, Be Recognized. It's the AI authority engine for experts who want to be known, be profitable, and be published. And we say the AI authority engine because we actually used this book, or we created this book using AI. So we used a bunch of different AI, like we used Claude, ChatGPT, and a couple other ones to write it, but we gave it almost 80% information. So we gave it a lot of information, uploaded a bunch of documents, created a custom GPT, created a project, all these things, and then had and gave it like our outline. And then we created the chapters and then we added stories. So it was almost like we gave it, you know, 80%, it gave us out like the rest. And then we edited it and changed it and added stories. And so because we knew how to use the AI tools, it was a lot easier to write the book. We actually wrote the book in 3 days on our anniversary. We went to Santa Fe to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, my business partner and I.
Yeah.
And we wrote it in 3 days. Now, we didn't publish it that fast. We, you know, had to edit it. We went through it and, you know, refined it and moved some chapters around and that kind of thing. But
unbelievable. 3 days. I love it. Talk to us about some of the strategies that you guys use to promote your own book. Let's hear about some of the ways that I know you sent us the Amazon link, which we're going to be sharing in the show notes. But talk to us about some of the marketing strategies that you guys used. And did you use AI for any of the marketing strategies to, you know, help create content for social media posts? Like, let's hear about
that. We actually have. So the cool thing about this book talks about all those marketing strategies. But the cool thing about AI is you can create so much content. So with a book, you have so much content for years and years, right? Especially if it's a timeless book and it's going to, this book probably isn't timeless because AI is going to change really fast, but there is a lot of stuff in it that can still be used and tweaked. So we did a lot of blog posts and articles that we created through with AI. We use one called Oasis, which is a really fun one to use. We also did our audiobook. We cloned my business partner's voice into an audiobook. And we also created podcast episodes around each chapter of the book. And used AI to do that. And that's on Spotify called Be Recognized. So we did a ton of different marketing like that. And then kind of going away from AI just to like traditional offline marketing, one of the things we tell our authors to do for the book, which we've been doing, is either have the free plus shipping model on your website where you have the book available for free and then you pay for shipping. Tony Robbins does that all the time, right? Like the little click funnels, Richard Branson and Russell Brunson. But you know, too, like those types of ways work really well. And then the other marketing tool that's really good for an offline strategy is to come up with your dream 100 list of who you want to work with in your business. And then you mail them a book with a letter. And so we've been doing that. We have a third party person that's printing we give them the books and they print the letter and ship it out to them. So it looks very personal, very nice. And third-party distributor is really distribution. It helps. So you're not sitting there packing envelopes, right?
Have you experienced a client coming to you that has used AI to do most of the draft? And is that make your life easier or more difficult?
We have been starting to try to, we ask them when they come to us, how much AI they use to write the book. Because we don't really want to publish a book that's written solely by AI. I mean, there are some out there. I've actually played around with some. Like I did some health books and did like an alias name. So they're out there and they're selling a little bit, but you can tell it's written solely by AI, right? And you don't really want that. You want that human experience and the stories. And so we'll ask them how much AI they've put into it and make sure that it is edited and isn't just, here's what ChatGPT gave me and now we're publishing it. We don't want that.
Nice.
It would be a bad book and people would leave bad reviews. Because at the end, ChatGPT, I don't know if you noticed, but it'll get lazy. And even Claude or any of the Gemini, it gets lazy. So you ask it questions and then you keep asking and then it'll give you like short little answers instead of like the big answers that it was giving you at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess, you have any other questions on this? In part of your bio and research we were doing before the show, you also assist clients with personal branding and marketing side as well. How does that play into your services as a book publisher? If somebody doesn't exist anywhere, they don't even have social media handle, do you ask them and kind of advise them to start that process? How do you go about doing that? And then, or if they do have some form of social kind of proof of existence, do you then amplify it through your systems? Talk to us about, give us a quick crash course on that.
Yeah. So before we started the book publishing company, like I said, I was in digital marketing. And so I've been doing web design, social media marketing, content creation, video marketing since like 2007, probably. It's been a long time. And so when an author comes to us and they don't have a website or even a landing page, then it's going to be hard to have a call to action in the front of the book that says, you know, for more information and download my free thing if you don't have somewhere for them to go, right? So we can help them get set up with a landing page, whether it's a one page or two pages, or, you know, that opt-in, that put your name and email in order to receive this free download or this checklist that goes with the book, or this a most recent book, a fiction book we're doing. They have a whole album on Spotify, like music that goes with the book. And so we have that QR code in the back. So just having something, we can help them get set up with a website. And then, of course, you're going to need social media marketing. A lot of people will say, oh, well, I have Instagram, but then they don't post on it, right? They haven't posted on it for years, or they don't know what to post. And so we'll come up with that content and we can create it from the book and use AI to help create the posts and the reels and the, you know, the pictures, the stories. And of course, it's great if the author is willing to have their face on camera and yes. actually talk and explain, yeah. even during the publishing process, like coming on and saying, oh, I just met with my publisher and today we talked about the book title. What do you think of these three? You know, coming on, going live, getting engagement. You notice on TikTok or Instagram or even YouTube Shorts, the reels that get noticed are the real people, the ones talking or the ones that are fun or engaging or show their personality.
People should actually focus more on building their brand than on selling the books, because it's people will definitely be like, oh my gosh, I love this person. I want to buy their book now. So that was a really great crash course, Jen. Yeah, we really appreciate that. Do you have any other questions, August?
Not really. No, I mean, we'll get into how people can reach out to you as well shortly here. But
I do want to say one more thing real quick on the social media, because a lot of times people feel overwhelmed because they're trying to do everything.
Yeah.
And what you really need to do is think about who your audience is and where they're hanging out. So if they're only on LinkedIn, then don't worry about Instagram and Facebook. Just post on LinkedIn, right?
Right.
Whatever age they are, you need to be in that space. So if your book is made specifically for younger people, TikTok, right? But of course, TikTok and Instagram, the reels are kind of similar, so you could upload to both. But you just want to think about where your audience is, and that's where you should be posting and putting your time in.
Nice. I love that. Here at CPI, I'd say majority of our audience is on LinkedIn, business professionals, right? But we use a platform called HubSpot where my marketing team can go on there and just do one post, like click one button and it will upload to all the different platforms. So right. LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Evergreen product.
Basically. Evergreen, yeah. So for people listening, there is technology as well, tools that can actually make it so you're not so overwhelmed. Because yeah, I remember back in the day when we had to do a post per platform and it's too much. Mm-hmm. All right, Jen, let's move on to our second segment of the show, the 10 championship rounds to financial freedom. Okay. We're going to ask you a series of 10 questions, whatever comes top of mind. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, let's get into it. First question, who's been the most influential person in your life?
In the business world, I would say Mike Koenig. So he's the mentor I've been following with marketing and learning all of the things that he teaches. And I've just kind of followed him and been successful with all the things I've done. In my personal life, I would say probably my grandfather, because he was an entrepreneur. He started a chain of gas stations here called Maverick Country Stores, which Flying J bought back in 2013. And before that, he built airplanes. So he was just like this serial entrepreneur. I think his very first thing he did was rent out roller skates at the dance hall, like back in the 40s or something, with his brother. So I just love like that entrepreneur spirit. And my grandfather was definitely one of those, had that.
I love that. Amazing. All right. Next question, Jen, what is the number one book you would recommend?
I'm going to be biased, of course, right? Yeah. I was going to say the latest book, Be Recognized, but I'm actually going to choose this other one here. I recommend this one, one of the first books my business partner and I wrote, How to Write a Life Story and Leave a Legacy. Because this book, for people who haven't ever written anything, goes through the questions that you need to write down your story of your life, whether you leave it just for your family and your posterity, or you publish, you know, a memoir or publish your book. But I love this book because it goes through all those questions and can really help you write your life story.
Nice. Oh, I love that. Okay, next question. If you had the opportunity to travel back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
That's a good one. I would probably say just go for it and keep pushing forward and go after your dreams, because the rewards are amazing. Don't stop.
Wonderful. Next question. What's the best investment you've ever made?
I would probably say my house. After my divorce, you know, it's kind of hard with a single income to get a house, but I found this house and bought it through seller financing. And if people don't know what that is, they can look it up or listen to your podcast and they'll probably learn, right? You guys will explain what seller financing is. But and then, of course, now I have a traditional mortgage. But buying this house has been a really good investment just because my three kids and just being able to have a place for us that we call home and not just renting and moving every couple of years.
That is the greatest investment for multiple generations, particularly yes. middle class that has made is buying their primary house. Yeah. And as much as a lot mm-hmm. of financial gurus out there talk about not buying
don't
renting,
yeah.
which is we're in the rental business. We make money yeah. off people living in rental communities, but buying your yeah. primary residence is probably the best investment you've ever made. And there's yeah. nothing better than that outside of that. Some investors yeah. that
and,
are
and you know, I may move and rent it out, but I'll always own it, right?
Or exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
Right on. Now, Jen, what's the worst investment you've ever made and what lessons did you learn from it?
That was really good. And you know, I don't know if I'd call it my worst investment because I learned so much that was actually higher than the money lost. The knowledge gain was more valuable than the monetary loss. I should right. say that.
Yeah.
So I bought a condo for my daughter to live in to go to school, and I wasn't able to get good financing and had a really high percentage rate for my personal loan that I got, my private money. And we tried to switch that and it never did switch. So, you know, turning it into I lost money every month, basically paid for my daughter to live there. They all paid too. Like it was all my nieces and everything. It was fun for them to live there for a year, but that condo probably wasn't a very good investment. So yeah, I would say that's probably the worst, but I really did learn, like, if I'm ever going to do private money again, I need to have the exit strategy within a month.
Right. So her best and worst investment were both real estate.
Both real estate.
But they were different strategies, yeah. different type of debt.
Yes.
That's the importance of having the right debt on your real estate, what we teach all the time.
Absolutely. All right, Jen, next question is, how much would you need in the bank to retire today? What's your number?
My number is probably $5 million.
All right. Very achievable.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Right on. Next question. If you could have dinner with someone dead or alive, who would it be?
That's a good one. I'd probably say my grandmother. And she's passed away, but I miss her. So <Aww.
laughs> maternal or paternal? From your dad's side or from your mom's side?
She's from my mom's or from my dad's side.
From your dad's side?
Aww. Yeah. Okay.
Grandmothers are very special. We have our 1 and 2 year old, and the grandmother's role is very special, and it's a very important role as well.
Yeah. Well, they also get on the nerves of the parents because the kids stuff that we don't
want to give. Oh, God. Let's just keep it as it's.
I can't wait till I'm a grandma. I'm excited. Oh, yeah. Okay. Soon, hopefully.
That is so cute. All right. Next question.
And then the teacher kids to say, because they don't want them to tell their parents. But then they come, grandma told me. And she gave me this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Next question. If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what would you be doing now?
Oh, I don't know. I guess like if I had that retirement money we talked about earlier, I'd be traveling. I love travel. So traveling to Europe, traveling to Thailand, traveling to Canada, traveling, which I still do now, but I do more of it.
What if you change the question a bit and say, like, when you were younger or when you were growing up, was there any profession you wanted to get into that was outside of the profession that you were doing now? Was there something like teaching or some kind of like music or
for example, I wanted to be a dermatologist, for example.
Oh, awesome.
Right? But I got into real estate at 22. So how about yourself?
Yeah, I was always a dancer. I danced all through college and I also played the viola. I was in music and orchestra. So I think that orchestra and the dancing, I would probably focus more on the orchestra and playing the viola. If I wasn't doing this, like I can see myself in like the symphony, some big city somewhere.
Amazing. Oh, I love the orchestra. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. See, we learned something very beautiful about Jen.
Good question to ask from a book publisher, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. This is my favorite question. Book smarts or street smarts?
For me, I probably have more book smarts. My parents were in Amway, a network marketing group back in the day, and they had the Book of the Month Club. So I got all these books that I would read every month during college. And I think I learned a lot from those books and probably helped me to become the publisher I am today because of the books that I've read and how it's changed my life.
Amazing. Okay. And last question, Jen, if you had $1 million in cash and you had to make one investment today, what would it be?
probably invest it with you guys and buy some big real estate, you know, commercial property that will give me back really high returns.
That's smart. There
you go. Great answer. Yeah. Okay. I love that. Yeah. We can't. Yeah. Real estate is obviously a great investment. Perfect. Okay. Jen, maybe just let all the viewers know what's the best way that they can reach out to you, please.
Yeah. So you can reach me at onlinepublishing.com. You can find me on Amazon. Just type in Jen Foster with two N's and Be Recognized is our latest book. And you can reach out there. And we also have a podcast called Elite Expert Insider. And maybe we'll have you guys on too, Ava and August, for that.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing all your wisdom and knowledge. And thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. We hope this conversation enlightened you on how to win big in this highly profitable and risk-averse space. Get on your feet and embrace this world that offers so many opportunities just waiting for you out there. Continue your journey to becoming a savvy real estate expert by subscribing to the show at cpicapital.ca. Don't forget to leave a positive rating and share with your friends. See you on the next one.